Hey, peoples, this is the Conspiracy Oz podcast. I'm your host, Mick Raven. It is Wednesday, the 6th of December, 2023. This is a review covering alternative news and events. You can call +61 02 8006 1918 anytime. Drop me an email at conspiracyoz@protonmail.com. Go to the website conspiracyoz.com. Download the podcast from iTunes, Spotify, or podomatic.com and get the D program. Okay, people, continuing from what I was talking about last week, where I'd said I would delve into the rats of COVID. And these are the ones that did the scurrying after COVID was announced that it was actually over, which it actually isn't. All the perpetrators of that 3 years of, you could call it like a digital incarceration and a physical one too, in some context. And I'm only talking about Australia from this that point of view, because it's really, I mean, I'm here in Australia witnessing all this stuff. And, you know, Melbourne was one of the most lockdown cities in the world. Australia was a big focal point for a while there because some crazy stuff that wasn't even happening in China was happening here. And so the leader of Australia at the time, he's no longer the leader anymore because he's done a runner, is the ex-Prime Minister Scott Morrison. And a lot of people don't know that he used to be a health minister before Greg Hunt years ago. So, you know, and he was part of another vaccination program back then, which will probably be in his Wikipedia. I've just got his Wikipedia up now. And then we'll go into whatever became of the ex-PM. Now, I just have to clarify something too before I go right into it. I thought he was health minister back in 2014, and I think that was under the Abbott government in Australia, but he was actually the Minister for Social Services, but that's beside the point. Have a guess what he did. This is to do with the jab thing I was talking about. It says, this is from the Wikipedia, Scott Morrison's Wikipedia, it says under the headline Social Services. It says, in a cabinet reshuffle in late December 2014, Morrison was appointed the Minister for Social Services. Wait till you hear this, people. And ceased to be Minister for Immigration and Border Protection. As Minister, Morrison changed indexation changes to the family tax benefits payment. And it says, and in April 2015, this is what I remember, he announced the introduction, wait for it, of the no jab, no pay policy, which withholds family and childcare benefits from parents who do not vaccinate their children. Can you believe? Perfect for the job, eh, people? Couldn't believe it. I knew he did that in the past, but I couldn't remember what he was a minister of. I thought it was health, but it was social services. What makes you wonder, why is he doing that for social services? It doesn't matter what portfolios they hold. They get told what to do, and they have to meet an agenda. So it doesn't surprise me at all. But that's what he's... So, you know, the groundwork was laid for him. He was the right guy at the right time for the right reasons for Agenda 21/30 for the globalists, who obviously put him up there to make sure that he was picked. I mean, a lot of people think voting has a lot to do with it, but really when you think about it, not everyone votes. It's compulsory in Australia, but not everyone votes. And you're never really sure these days about votes, because you saw what happened to Donald Trump. You've seen over the years that people are questioning the voting system. So it's not the fact that people go and vote and actually think they have a choice. It's a fact whether it's actually a true vote with the system we have. In the old days, you used to scratch it on a ballot paper, it would be counted, and that was it. Now you have postal votes, online votes. You have another mechanism for doing it. And you must realize too, people, that over the years, even in the US politics and possibly other Western politics all around the world, they always run neck and neck, don't they? Red team, blue team. It's always 49-51%. They seem to be running this balance all the time. It's never usually a landslide victory. It does happen, but not that often. It's always just enough people to win an election on one side and then hand the baton back to the others when it's finished. That's what's been happening. That's what happens. So it really doesn't leave much faith for the people out there to realize that we have been hoodwinked for decades, decades upon decades, all around the world, utterly hoodwinked, as we sell off to the corporations that are that have these rich major shareholders sitting on these public companies. And you just realize that we have been had acquisition after acquisition over decades has put us in this position now, where these people are even more powerful than what they were in the past and have massive influence, even over government figures. So I don't think Scott Morrison was any different. Now, reading through the Wikipedia, I didn't want to go through their whole history. We all know in Australia what these people did. But I did want to mention just the article in the Wikipedia where it mentions COVID-19 pandemic. And the only reason I'm mentioning it, people, is because they hardly mention anything. This is the guy that was running the ship in Australia through the COVID-19 pandemic. And this is all they have, two paragraphs. Because he's the guy that put his hands in the air and said, oh, I'm not going to mandate getting the vaccination. Let me read this. It's got, and this is under the headline, COVID-19 pandemic. It says the COVID-19 pandemic in Australia prompted Morrison to establish the National Cabinet on the 13th of March 2020. This body is composed of the Prime Minister and the Premiers and Chief Ministers of the states and territories to coordinate the national response to the pandemic. On the 29th of May 2020, the Prime Minister announced that the National Cabinet would replace the Council of Australian Governments, which is COAG, and meetings after the pandemic would be held monthly instead of biannual meetings of COAG. On the 5th of May, Morrison and New Zealand Prime Minister Jacinda Ardern and the Australian state and territorial leaders, agreed to work together to develop a trans-Tasman travel zone that would allow residents from both countries to travel freely between them without restrictions. It never happened. They actually broke down, people. But that's another story. Morrison supported an international inquiry into the origins of the global COVID-19 pandemic and that the coronavirus most likely originated in a wildlife wet market in Wuhan. On the 2nd of March 2022, Morrison announced he had contracted COVID and was suffering from flu-like symptoms. This is a guy that's been jabbed, by the way, people, apparently. Now, it's got vaccine rollout. In August 2020, Morrison announced that Australians would be among the first in the world, good old guinea pigs, to receive a COVID-19 vaccine. And it says, if it proves successful, which it didn't, through an agreement between the Australian government and the UK-based drug company AstraZeneca, it says that in November 2020, he said the government's COVID-19 strategy would put Australia at the front of the queue for a safe and effective vaccine. No wonder he's gone, people. During a press conference on January the 7th of in 2021, Morrison announced that Australia's vaccination program would begin in February of that year. Also stating that the government planned to vaccinate 4 million people by the end of March. I remember all this. However, this figure was not met, as only 600,000 doses were administered by the 31st of March, 3.4 million less than the target. Now, that's because they were getting blood clots. All sorts of things were going wrong with that jab. I remember all that. And I was starting to distrust the government and saying, what's going on here? Then it says, both the original goal for the vaccine doses and the vaccine priority cohorts were revised several times. By the 30th of June 2021, the number of doses given, 7.6 million, was 4.7 million less than the goal for the end of June. I mean, this is how crazy it was. We were the guinea pigs, people. Australia doesn't really realise that, but Australians were among the first to get jabbed up in the whole world. That's just utterly crazy. Reading on. It says the slow vaccine rollout prompted traditionally conservative newspaper The Australian to editorialise, that the federal government is losing credibility with its management of the vaccine rollout and its repeated claims that everything is on track. So, I mean, The Australian is also the Murdochs. So they're globalist people. So they're going to criticise him for not doing it quick enough. It doesn't surprise me. But that's what it is. I mean, this is how bad it got. But that's it. There's no other mention of it. This is a guy that steered Australia in the most unprecedented times ever, and that's all that's in his Wikipedia. It's almost like they didn't allow anything to be put in there. A bit like a Google search when you can't find anything anymore on these people that are very much protected in the system by the very globalists that, you know, make a phone call to Jimmy Wales in Wikipedia and say, oh, can you like leave that bit out on the Rockefellers and George Soros and blah, blah, blah. That's what happens. And then people think that there's nothing to see here. That's as simple as it gets, people. But and actually, it's got something here in the Wikipedia. Let's just see what it says about a new job. I've got articles, but I just want to see what the Wikipedia says. It says, because it's got post-prime ministerial career. It says, soon after the 2022 election on the 30th of May, Peter Dutton was elected as new leader of the Liberal Party in a leadership election, with Dutton later stating that Morrison would not be included in his shadow ministry. It says Morrison remains in Parliament as a backbencher. In May 2023, he took an advisory position with the US-based think tank, the Centre for a New American Security. This is an ex-Prime Minister of Australia. Off to the US, bags of gold, offered a job. And you're going, what is the new job? So what I'm going to do is I'm just going to click on that link. There is other articles that go into more depth, but I just want to see what the wiki has for this. I'm curious to see what Jimmy Wales is allowing. So I'm just going to look up the Centre for New American Security. It's just this is unbelievable, isn't it, people? Ex-Prime Minister's off to the US to get a cushy job. Not surprised, but it says the Centre for New American Security is a think tank in Washington, D.C., specializing in United States national security issues, including terrorism, irregular warfare, the future of the U.S. military, and the emergence of Asia as a global power center. It's got war games pitting the U.S. against the People's Republic of China and the national security implications of national resource consumption, among others. Now, it's going through a list. It says the CNAS has strong ties to the Democratic Party. So you can see already he's on the side of the Clintons and the Obamas and Biden. Straight away he's walked straight into it. So doesn't that say something to you people? And it says the CNAS, which is the Centre for New American Security, has received funding from large corporations, people, including defence contractors. Donors have included Northrop Grumman, Chevron, Amazon and Google. It's totally globalist controlled. And it says and it just goes on that the amount of companies involved in this, people. It's got the organization's top donors include Northrop Grumman. I'm just going through some of them. Open Society Foundations. I had to read that one, people. George Soros. It's got Airbus Group, the Boeing Company, Chevron Corporation, Lockheed Martin Corporation. They're all there. It's massive. Exxon Mobil's there. This is what I'm saying. This guy has walked in a cushy job. Everyone's forgotten about him. We haven't, and I haven't. So that's just the wiki. So he's not off. He's not out of the woods just yet, people. We'll still keep an eye on him and see where he's going to end up. All right? I'll get the other articles up. Let's see what the other publications say about him. Okay, so this is what he tried at right after he got the flick. July the 7th, 2022. And this is from www.9.com.au. So it's the Nine News, Channel 9, which is a press media publication. So it's got your former Australian Prime Minister Scott Morrison keen on joining the ARL Commission. And people go, what's that? It's the Australian Rugby League Commission, people. Sport. It says just months after being voted out of office, Australia's former Prime Minister Scott Morrison is gunning for a role on the Australian Rugby League Commission. It says, according to Nine's Danny, looks like Wheedler, Morrison, who is a Cronulla Sharks fan, has approached prominent rugby league figures in a bid to become a director of the game. He was never going to do this, people. And it's got ARLC Chairman Peter Valandis has not personally been approached, but other commissioners have, according to Wheedler. So I'm just going to read down. So there's a few joke ones, too. You've got to be careful with some of these publications, because they do. I've got one on Daniel Andrews coming up too that's got some funny job offers that he was spotted at, but they weren't true, they were fabricated, but still funny. I mean, comedy's everything, isn't it? I mean, it's press tube media, you can get away with misinformation. I'm sure people can do it in jest and let it be known it's jest. It says, in the lead up to the Origin, Scott Morrison was speaking to some power brokers in rugby league, and he made it quite clear to them that he would like to be part of the Australian Rugby League Commission, Wheedler told Nine News. It says, now he won't be able to do that straight away because there are no vacancies, but this is something that could happen in the future. In other words, it's really a bogus story. He's just a supporter and they're just trying to figure out what he's going to do next. He would have known exactly what he was doing next. Anyway, it goes on to say, now, he won't be able to do that straight away because there's no vacancies, but this is something that could happen in the future. It says, I spoke to Peter Volandis, the chairman, today and asked him about it. And he said he had not had a direct approach from Scott Morrison at this point. It's going to be a case of watch this space. It says, Morrison was voted out of office in May, his Liberal Party losing to Anthony Albanese's Labor. Volandis hosted both Morrison and Albanese in the NRL suite for the State of Origin series opener last month at the Sydney's Acor Stadium. So a really a bum steer, people. But still, let's move on. It says here, ScoMo's new job. Have a look at this one, people. This is 21st.com.au, so another one of these Press Tube media sites, but it's got, and it's from 2ST, so I think it's a radio station. But anyway, I just thought it was interesting. October the 17th, 2022. So he's had some time off, hasn't he, people? He's just probably jet-setting around, trying to figure out what can he do. Now, this this publication's already funny. It's got the man we just, and it's got S-H-I-T, canned, from the Australia's Top Job and Jack of All Trades, Scott Morrison, has a new job. So we'll just see if this is more made-up stuff, which is funny. It says, former PM Scotty has gone and joined the Worldwide Speakers Group as its latest lecturer. Now, I'm not sure what that is, but this says someone that's on a, looks like a Twitter account or X, whatever you want to call it, that says that the Worldwide Speakers Group has just signed up a new globalization mastermind who lends his boundless influence and experience to audiences around the world. Is this the same person we turfed out of office here? So it is sort of a bogus one, but still, it says, highlighting some of Morrison's best and worst moments over his colourful career is YouTuber Ace Alban. So someone's obviously setting him up. So right after someone loses, they do this. But this is a guy that threw all those situations down in the pandemic. Got Greg Hunt to rubber stamp everything and then threw his arms in the air and said, oh, I don't mandate the vaccine. Yet this is a guy that had a goal to vaccinate everyone. So go figure. It says, from the shores of Hawaii to the Engadine McDonald's and now the international stage, ScoMo must surely have an impressive CV. Now, also, there was the ScoMo game, people. I put that up on conspiracyoz.com quite a while ago. This is where he's lost his job and then he's trying to get a job at Centrelink, which is like the recruitment agency for any job in Australia. But what happens is every time he hands his resume in, it disappears and he has to keep going and getting it and it keeps ending up in the bin. And then when he goes outside, a gigantic version of his head follows him around and eats him up. It's a really funny cartoon, people. This is what happens when someone's been ridiculed that much. It's because they did a lousy job. It's exactly what he did. So they got his resume here, which is, you know, Abbott government 2013-2015. That's when he did the no jab, no pay, from what I said before. Then he was in the Turnbull government 2015-2018 and then prime minister. So he was groomed for 10 years prior up to now. So he's been around just long enough to be the right guy at the right time, just like Greg Hunt and all the others, but they've all done runners. In his case, he was more or less shown the door. He'd done the job they wanted, off you go, okay? And now they're ridiculing him. That's what happens to people like that. But anyway, he's laughing. This is a guy with six figures worth $50 million. He doesn't care what you think of him. Simple as that, people. And it says that he did domestic affairs for bushfires, Afghan refugees, Eastern Australian floods. Funny that. The COVID-19 pandemic and the vaccine rollout. And it says, it's fair to say this Aussie battler has had a good crack at the bat up against a few fastballs. And it says, I'm sure he'll be ready to tackle his next challenge. And then they're showing a picture of when he did this, I think he was playing soccer with a kid. When he was prime minister and he falls over the kids and squashes him. And they just go on about it. It's like Biden when he trips down going up the staircase going to the to his flight in his plane. He keeps falling all the time. But they got Morrison tripping over him. You know, people do this all the time, but still, that's what happens. You get ridiculed. So again, a nothing story. Now we move on to the next one. This is skynews.com. It's also another publication that likes to tear people apart for the right or the wrong reasons. It's up to the listener or the viewer to work out what's right and what's wrong, but not be told. You must allow all these publications to have their say so people can make up their mind. When there's nothing allowed, we're in a dictatorship where you're not allowed to have an opinion anymore. It's just an opinion of one side of politics, which will be a dictatorship. There won't be two sides anymore. At the moment, it's getting that way. It's getting closer to it. It says former Prime Minister Scott Morrison joins the advisory board of the Center for New American Security to provide insights and expertise. So that's what we read in the Wikipedia. So it's coming up to date. And it says skynews.com.au. That came out on the 5th of May, 2023. So a year later, after he was ousted in as Prime Minister, he's finally making his move. And it says here, Scott Morrison has accepted an advisory position at Washington-based think tank, the Center for New American Security. Speculation about Mr. Morrison's future has been a hot topic following the coalition government's election loss in May 2022, with many believing he will leave before the end of the year. It says the CNAS chief executive Richard Fontaine welcomed the announcement, praising the former prime minister's record as prime minister from 2018 to 2022. The pandemic, people. Mr. Fontaine touted Mr. Morrison's leadership throughout the coronavirus pandemic, which he described as among the most successful in the world. We were the guinea pigs, people. We totally fell for it. It says, as prime minister, Scott Morrison spearheaded the landmark AUKUS defense agreement and led his country's efforts to deal with an increasingly aggressive China, he said. Well, actually, what Morrison did was point the finger at China, who then put sanctions on us, and then he did a runner. So doesn't seem like he was doing anything good for anyone, anywhere, anytime. So it says, as the newest member of the CNAS Board of Advisors, his insights and expertise will strengthen the center's research and work. We look forward to his contributions. These are the US. He's jumped ship. That's what a turncoat the guy is. He was never for Australia. He was for the globalists all the way. And it says, reports surfaced earlier this week that Mr. Morrison could be considering taking a job in the United Kingdom as a defense in the defense sector. So there's another offer. This guy can't help himself. The amount of offers he's getting. So that's why these people do it, people, because they know there's bags of gold and they get looked after. Just like Greg Hunt last week when I spoke about the former health minister, how he's got it now. He's a professor at the University of Melbourne and oversees all the medical supplies coming in and, you know, who gets the benefits from it. And even though the medical supplies in Australia cost three times more than anywhere else in the world, that's beside the point. They now have the attack dog to stop people from getting that stuff cheaper. And the globalists that sit on the board of those companies that make the medical supplies are just scraping it in. They love it. So it says here, the job Mr. Morrison is reporting in line for is in the AUKUS space based out of the UK, a source said, and would see him travel to the country about once a month. When asked for comment, Mr. Morrison told Nine newspapers he was very engaged with things in my local electorate and enjoying being back in my local community. He's just a bludger now, but he's obviously got the big bags of gold and a pat on the back, and he'll be off to capitalize on that. Despite the new unpaid appointment, I like that, Mr. Morrison has not indicated when he plans to leave Parliament. Peter Dutton has also told reporters that Morrison has not indicated he'll be leaving Canberra anytime soon. So he's denying that, you know, this is happening and that's happening, because that's what they do. They never tell you the actual truth. They never give you a yes or a no. And it says on Tuesday, the Liberal leader was specifically asked, has Scott Morrison told you he's resigning from Parliament? No, he hasn't. I had dinner with Scott the other night, Mr. Dutton responded. He's obviously a distinguished former Prime Minister of our country, and in relation to his own future, that's a question for him. Isn't it so funny that Dutton got dirty on Morrison because he beat him? When Malcolm Turnbull, the other former Prime Minister, lost, there was a leadership tussle between Julie Bishop, Peter Dutton and Scott Morrison. And actually, Peter Dutton was winning. And then all of a sudden, Morris suddenly won. And then Dutton was dirty on him. But then, you know, he's had dinner with him. They're friends. See, it's all a Punch and Judy show, people. They're getting six figures. Why do they care? It doesn't matter if you win or lose. You're not losing. You're winning. But in the public's eyes, they think, oh, he's lost. He's got no job now. Ha, ha, ha. Not the case, people. Not the case at all. It's the Labrador Party. I've told you this before. So I've got one more article on Scott Morrison before we move on to other people. This is from 9news.com.au, and it came out on July 25th, 2023. It says, PM Scott Morrison seen for the first time since robo-debt findings handed down as public servant resigns. Because that was a big scandal too in Australia, which he was blamed for. But, you know, that once they do a runner and they get their bags of gold, they get looked after, people. They get protected, and that's it. Same with Hunt. He's being protected right now. It says Scott Morrison has been spotted for the first time since the damning findings of the Robo-Debt Royal Commission were handed down, just hours after a senior public servant resigned over the scandal. The former Prime Minister was snapped outside his home after returning from a European holiday, the first time the former leader has been seen in public in weeks, though he failed to make any comment to reporters. His re-emergence comes as senior public servant Catherine Campbell resigned from her $900,000 a year role in the Department of Defence. Almost seven figures, people. After facing heavy criticism in the report's findings. Now, that's just a senior public servant. Do you understand now how ridiculous it looks for the taxpayers of Australia when we're being hoodwinked from COVID-19 pandemics to robocop debts? It doesn't matter what it is. These people don't care. Okay, so it just goes on about that situation. It doesn't really go on about Morrison anymore, but he's been appointed a new job. I'd like to know what he's getting paid, people. And it says here, I'm just reading on the end of that article, it's got the former Prime Minister was heavily scrutinised in the report, which found Morrison failed to meet his ministerial responsibility to ensure that Cabinet was properly informed about the proposal actually entailed and ensured it was lawful. This is to do with the robo-debt thing. This is where people got phone calls saying you owe money to the government, and it was all false, and some people died, some people lost all their money, some people thought they were going to go to jail. It was an absolute mess, and he was at the helm of that one too. It says Morrison later hit out at the commission's scathing indictment of the evidence he provided, as well as his ministerial failings. In a lengthy statement, Morrison, who was social services minister for 9 months between 2014 and 2015, took issue with the report. I reject completely each of the findings which are critical of my involvement in authorising the scheme and are adverse to me, he wrote. See, they will never, ever admit doing anything wrong. And so even then, even when he's left, no conscience, people, they don't care. I just found this other article too, which was really unusual. It's from theguardian.com, but it's what they asked Morrison about the Israeli conflict in Hamas. Now, he's got ties to Israel, people, all right? So he's going to be pro-Israeli, which is exactly what the article is. It's got here, Scott Morrison says world should not be suckered into supporting the Gaza ceasefire. Former Australian PM labels ceasefire call a play from Hamas while visiting Israel alongside former UK Prime Minister Boris Johnson, the bozo. It says the former ScoMo and bozo. It says the former Australian Prime Minister Scott Morrison has told reporters in Israel the world should not get suckered into supporting a ceasefire in Gaza, calling it a play from Hamas. The former Liberal leader The former Liberal Party leader touched down in Israel on Sunday, joined by former UK Prime Minister Boris Johnson. I mean, this is what you would expect, people. This guy grew up in Waverley, which is right amongst it, in Bronte. So he's right amongst that community, the Israeli community. But still, I don't support Hamas or Israel, but I think it needs to stop because people that aren't involved in the conflict are dying now. Okay, when the Israelis were killed on October the 7th, that was done, in my opinion, this is just my opinion, that Benjamin Netanyahu knew what he was doing. He knew that a false flag would give him unprecedented attack of all of Gaza to kick the Palestinians out and go and get the gas. The gas offshore in Gaza is worth billions. They've been in court trying to get it off the Palestinians. This is what I'm telling you, this is what that war is about. They let those Israelis get killed for collateral damage so all these multinationals can get their hands on the gas. And I'll keep saying, you won't see it in the news, but it's true. Okay? That is the main reason why they're trying to drive all of the people out of there. They're not just trying to kill them, they're trying to get them out of there so they can reclaim the area to get the gas. I'm telling you, that is exactly what is happening there. So you've got the two reportedly met the Israeli President Isaac Herzog on Sunday before touring southern Israel amid its conflict against the Palestinian militant group Hamas in the besieged strip. Morrison told reporters there was a willingness to ensure humanitarian support. What is it? How many people have died now? In his discussions with Israeli officials, but said he did not support a ceasefire. So he's all for it. Tanks and boots on the ground. That's it. When do they say, oh, we've now avenged the 1,200 people? They're not going to stop people. They will kill them all. There'll be 4 million dead people, or they'll be out of the country, out of that area of the Gaza Strip. That's what's going to happen. And he says, Morrison, do you provide a pause and a ceasefire to allow Hamas to regroup, to get themselves in a position to resist even further? Do you think that happened, people, after this story on 18th of November? No. There's tens of thousands will be killed. That's what's happening. And he says, I mean, this is a play from Hamas, and we've got to be careful not to be suckered into it. How many times did he say that? And it says the comments follow a passionate display in the Senate after the Greens' deputy leader, Marine Farouqi, staged a boycott on Question Time with 10 of her fellow senators. So, yeah, this is what I'm saying. This has now fueled the fire of terrorism again. Not only did they try the COVID thing, they're trying the terrorism thing again. Remember with 9/11, the false flag where the two buildings were blown up and a third one fell down just by itself? Look it up. World Trade Center, there was three. They never talk about it. And that fueled the whole terrorism thing where people were just scrutinized and watched and everyone was, and they're doing it again. They are now causing it again where all around the world, Muslims will start to react to what is happening to them in Palestine, and they will start, in Gaza, they will start to retaliate, and you'll see terrorism a rebirth. Terrorism 2.0. But the worst part is it will then let the globalists have a free-for-all to bring in their massive surveillance and QR coding and digital ID. It'll make it cemented even quicker. That's why they're doing this, people. It's very, very plainly obvious to me that this is going to speed all their Agenda 21/30 objectives up even faster. So there you have it with Scott Morrison. There was no real anything in the searches I could find saying what he actually is doing right now as I speak, but it seems like he's going to work for the US. You know, he got offered another job in New Zealand as well and turned it down. Anything but Australia. So he will probably resign from Parliament this year if it's not happening already, and he'll be off to his ridiculously high paid job in the US. So looked after right to the end. And even doing searches online, you can't find anything on him. They're actually, that's what I'm saying, they make sure that you're out of sight, out of mind. That's how it works. But no, ScoMo will not be forgotten. Now the next one is Dictator Dan. Everyone knows Dan the man from Victoria who recently quit from being leader because, you know, his time was up. 9 years later of being in power, he sort of had enough. But out of all of them, Dictator Dan was probably the worst simply because he actually enjoyed doing what he did. Whereas the others, you know, sort of squirmed around. They knew that the death threats were real. In Dan's case, he actually fought back and said, yeah, bring it on. It got to the point where people were going, what? This guy's a nut. He is a nut, but that's it. But he's also finally done a runner as well. So there you go, one of the COVID rats. So without much ado, so as like with the last one, we'll start off the wiki and see what is allowed to be reported from Jimmy Wales at Wikipedia. And it's got, and I'll just see if I can go to the COVID stuff. I don't really want to get into their political careers. I mentioned Scott Morrison's because he was social services minister that brought in the no jab, no pay, which I thought was very eerily similar to what happened in COVID-19 with the restrictions. But Dictator Dan takes the cake. I mean, Premier of Victoria and Australia for the 9 years, pretty much thinks he's infallible. Well, he's done a runner now, and I reckon there's been enough death threats to make him think, hang on, this could actually happen. So it's got, I'll just read this part at the beginning of the wiki. It says, after one term in opposition, Andrews led Labor to victory in the 2014 election. He was sworn in as Premier in December of that year. He led his party to an increased majority of 10 seats in the lower house during the 2018 election and to a third landslide victory in the 2022 election, again increasing the party's majority in the House. Significant historical events during Andrews' time as Premier included the 2019 to 20, the Australian bushfire season and the COVID-19 pandemic. So that's what he's going to be remembered for. It's utterly ridiculous, people, but such glowing reviews, why run? Why run away? So there you go, another COVID rat scurries into the distance with his bags of gold. But what became of Daniel? So let's go through his legacy first and see roughly what he'd be remembered for. Just in the wiki, we're just going to go to the COVID-19 and see just how scary this guy got people, because he really was hated, like badly. I'm just seeing if I can find something else. There's something to do with... No, I won't read that. I'm just going to keep going through. Ah, euthanasia. Let's read that one. On the 20th September 2017, the Voluntary Assisted Dying Bill, which is murder yourself, was introduced into the Legislative Assembly of the Victorian Parliament by Andrews Labor government. The bill is modelled on the recommendations of an expert panel chaired by the former Australian Medical Association Professor Brian Auer. Proposed legislation was said by proponents to be the most conservative in the world and contains 68 safeguards, including measures designed to protect vulnerable people from coercion and abuse, as well as a board to review each case. It's got a rubber stamp killing yourself. So there you go. I didn't know about that, but now I do. So just another thing to be remembered for. Plenty of things to be remembered for, Dictator. Now scrolling down. Now it goes on about his political thing, but here it is, COVID-19 pandemic. Ooh, look how long it is. It says, during his second term, Andrews led the state's response to the COVID-19 pandemic. In late June 2020, cases began to rise, primarily originating from breaches in hotel quarantine. That's ridiculous, all that. On the 20th of June, with the state recording 25 cases, people, that's all it was back then, Andrews mostly delayed the planned easing of restrictions and reinstated stricter home gathering rules as it moves on, people. On the 30th of June, with the state recording 64 new infections, Andrews announced stage 3 restrictions for 10 postcodes within metropolitan Melbourne, suspended international flights, and announced a judicial inquiry into the state's hotel quarantine program. Andrews announced a further 2 postcodes would return to stage 3 restrictions and a hard lockdown of public housing towers in North Melbourne and Kensington on the 4th of July. The Ombudsman later criticised the timing and conduct of the lockdown as potentially violating the residents' charter rights. On the 7th of July, Andrews announced the reimposition of stage 3 restrictions for metropolitan Melbourne and the Mitchell Shire as the state recorded 191 new cases. Under these restrictions, residents in the infected area could only leave their homes for exercise, obtaining supplies, work if it couldn't be done from home, and to provide care and compassion. What a guy. In early August 2020, following a spike in COVID-19 infections, in Victoria was up to 750 new infections detected per day. Andrews declared a state of disaster. That's why he's Disaster Dan. And announced stage 4 lockdown rules for 31 metropolitan Melbourne municipalities and stage 3 rules for regional parts of the state. The stage 4 rules for Melbourne included compulsory face masks, all but essential businesses closed, residents only being allowed to leave their homes once a day to shop for essential items only, and once a day to exercise for a maximum of 1 hour. Both these activities were restricted to within 5 kilometres of home. This is all him, people. All schooling was to be done remotely using electronic communication. A nightly curfew from 8 p.m. to 5 a.m. was introduced. Exemptions existed for workers deemed essential. Can you believe this happened in modern-day Australia during this COVID hoax? And that guy got to finger-point everyone. And he wonders why he got death threats. It says the restrictions correlated with a reduction in the rate of infections, oh really, such that by mid-September 2020, the 14-day case average was 44 rather than 63 predicted by the modelling people, not the real world. Remember, the COVID-19 was still transmissible. People were still dying, even though they're claiming it worked. It's because they locked them up for a little while. Then it would have, well, what's it up to now? 22,000 dead. Did it work, people? Anyway, let me read on. On the 26th of October 2020, Victoria recorded no new cases and no new deaths. Its first day of no cases since June. The achievement was called Donut Day. Donut Dan. It says in 2021, further COVID-19 outbreaks in Victoria led to lockdowns, being reinstated a further 4 times, with restrictions including a 9 p.m. to 5 a.m. curfew and a 5 kilometre travel limit reinstated for residents of metropolitan Melbourne. In October 2021, Andrews was fined. Wait, this is funny. This is true. In October 2021, Andrews himself was fined $400 for breaching face mask rules on 2 occasions. In both cases, he walked through a car park at Parliament House to his press conference without wearing a mask. Yet he told you better do as I say, but not, I won't do as I say. It's an idiot. Public opinion. This is the headline in his Wikipedia. I have to read it because this guy got, he got finger pointed more than any other politician simply because he loved doing what he did. It says, in April 2020, 70% approved of Andrew's handling of the coronavirus pandemic. They actually enjoyed being bossed around by this dude. This is why it happened to them, by the way. This was the third highest figure out of all Australia's premiers, Andrew's premiers. It says Andrew's approval ratings dropped due to the acceleration of Victoria's second wave of infections and harsh restrictions aimed at suppressing the spread of infections, which it didn't. People started going, hang on. It says a September 2020 Roy Morgan research poll showed that 70% approved of the way Andrews was handling his job as Premier of Victoria. Remember, always remember when they do polls, it's about 1,000 people. It's not 1 million. And it says, and a September 2020 news poll showed that 62%, 1,000 people again, agreed that Andrews handled Victoria's COVID-19 response well. In November 2020, another poll, Roy Morgan Research, showed that Andrews' approval rating had increased by 9%, with 71% of Victorian electors approving of his handling of his job. It says, by the time of the 2022 state election, Andrews' approval ratings had declined. But he still remained relatively high, and he consistently led opposition leader Matthew Guy in opinion polls throughout the term. So he had no one else. There was no one else to replace him. That's what happened. And it's got media coverage. During the earlier years of the COVID-19 pandemic, conservative commentators criticised the Andrews governments for its introduction of vaccination mandates, which he did. He wasn't afraid to say get jabbed or else. Also, his prolonged lockdowns and failures in hotel quarantine in 2020. It says conservative-leaning media outlets, in particular those owned by News Corp Australia, gave Andrews the label, Dictator Dan, because of his strict measures his government took to suppress the spread of COVID-19. So, anyway, that's the wiki. We'll leave it at that. Now let's see, where does he go now? What is he doing now? Let's have a look. I just saw this bit here. I have to add it in because you've got to know. This is the same with Greg Hunt. Now you've got the same thing happening with Dictator Dan. It says, it's going on about Andrews had been a member of Labor's socialist left faction since he joined the party in 1993, having been an advocate for environmentalism and climate change. He supported the pledge for net zero emissions by 2050. So he's supporting the Agenda 21 slash 30. That's what he was put in for. Okay, so absolutely no surprises there at all with this guy, people. I mean, these people are handpicked to do this. It's not about winning the elections. And there's always an opposite one that can win as well that will still push the agenda. That's why you've got nothing that you can actually support for. It doesn't matter who you vote for. The left and the right are the same. That's why it's the Liberal Party. It doesn't matter. And the ridiculous amount of money they get from taxpayers is utterly... politics has gotten to the point now where it's like Rome, where all the senators are just trying to grab property and cash on the way out. And this guy is absolutely no different. In fact, I wouldn't have been surprised if he had kept going in politics that he wouldn't have ended up with a white robe and the gold leaves around the top of his head. Wouldn't have surprised me at all. Then he'd be Emperor Dan. Anyway, now this is the next story. Now, this story was funny as soon as I saw it, people. You will laugh because I just did the one before on ScoMo, Scott Morrison. November the 19th, 2021, CanberraTimes.com.au. Dan Andrews labels Scott Morrison weak and accuses the Prime Minister of pandering to extremists over the Victorian protests. Now, Victoria had some of the biggest protests ever, people. They were absolutely tens of thousands of people protesting against that guy and what he was doing. And the people were actually right. But at the time when they got away with it, it's because we don't know what's going to happen. And so they got away with emergency measures, same within the US. And as people got wiser and realized this thing, it's being transmitted anyway, with or without vaccination. So what's the point of all the draconian measures? And that's when people got smart and said, get him. And that's why he's run, because of the death threats. So it says, Daniel Andrews has labelled Scott Morrison a weak leader and accused the Prime Minister of double speaking to extremists over public threats to kill the Victorian Premier. So this is, he's talking about him. But Scott Morrison has rejected allegations of dog whistling, claiming he has been completely clear in his condemnation of violence. And it says, this happened to you, this did happen. Gallows, you know, the hangman gallows, were erected outside Victoria's Parliament this week by anti-lockdown protesters openly calling for the Victorian Premier's execution. After the Prime Minister condemned the threats, but said he understood the frustrations and underpinning the rally, Mr. Andrews said their relationship would be a lot better when he stops double-speaking to extremists. So Daniel Andrews is starting to realise, even back in 2021, when he was at the height of his lordship, that people were onto him, okay? And he says, this is Andrews, I'm not about chasing through doublespeak the votes of extremists or their preferences. I will not do that. If others choose to do that, that is on them, Mr. Andrews told Today on Friday. I don't want anyone, whether it's people who are weak leaders or extremists, to take away from what Victorians have built and sacrificed. It sounds more like what he sacrificed and got other people to do. He was still getting paid big dollars, people. And he didn't wear the mask twice and he got fined. So, yeah, he needs to look in the mirror a bit harder. Mr. Morrison on Friday flatly rejected the allegations, claiming he had been completely clear in his condemnation of violence. The Prime Minister labelled the presence of gallows appalling and said he had no truck whatsoever with threatening. I don't know what it means, no truck whatsoever. What does that mean? The Freedom Truckers at the time? No truck whatsoever with threatening behaviour. He says, I completely, totally and continue to denunciate any violence, any threat, any intimidation. Same reason he did a run of people. They were after him as well. It says, but pressed on his sympathy for the protesters, Mr. Morrison repeated his claim Australians had had a gutful of being told what to do. He's passing the buck, people. He's making Disaster Dan get completely blamed for it. They made such a mess of it in Australia, didn't they, people? The jabbing, the lockdowns, all of it. What a mess. And reading on, it says, you're making an assumption that the frustration that the Australians feel is only limited to a small group of people who have engaged in violence, threats, intimidation, and have worked against the vaccination program. I have no sympathy with that agenda, he told reporters. But for the broader view of Australians who have done the right thing, governments to step back and let them step forward in their own future, that's the cause I have sympathy with. This is a guy that also said, I don't mandate the vaccine. He passed the buck on every front. That's what the type of guy he is. But still, he's not getting away with it either. It says a Facebook post from Mr. Morrison on Thursday excluded his condemnation of the threats, including only comments on his unease with lockdowns and vaccine mandates. It's a guy with a no jab, no pay back in 2015 against parents and their children. Anyway, it says there are many people who are feeling frustrated. Over the last couple of years, governments have been telling Australians what to do, the Prime Minister said in the video. Mr. Andrews said the comments were not an attack on state governments, but on hardworking people who had lined up to get vaccinated. We have had to do the lockdowns. We had to be in people's lives because there was no vaccine. And who forgot to order the vaccines? It wasn't state governments. It wasn't Victorians, he said. So it's a bit rich to be getting lectures. See how they passed the buck amongst themselves when in actual fact people were getting jabbed and dying anyway. You see, the means just doesn't justify the ends. These guys were on the take from day one. They knew what they were doing, people. They did not do this going along thinking, I wonder what's going to happen. They knew exactly what was going to happen because they were told what to do. That's the difference here between what they're trying to say was, we didn't know what was going to happen, to the fact is, oh, yes, you did. So it's got ACT Chief Minister Andrews Barr said Mr. Morrison had left himself open to accusations of pandering to extremists. See what I mean? The anti-vaxxers, the people that didn't want to be locked down, were called extremist people. That's what happened back in 2021. Okay, so I won't read any more, but this is the politicians squabbling amongst themselves while people are doing it extraordinarily tough and on purpose. They did this on purpose. Okay, the next article, probably from around the same time, I think. It's the same one. It says, it's from a 9news.com.au, Daniel Andrews and family, the subject of violent extremist threats. So around the same time, November the 19th, 2021. So we'll see what happens now that he's directly. Let's see if we can get it. Here it is. Victorian Premier Daniel Andrews has decried violent and extremist threats directed towards him and his family from people who oppose his handling of the pandemic. Mr. Andrews said the threats have targeted not only himself, but his wife and children, and have come in from rabid anti-vaxxers. That's what he called them too. He labelled anti-vaxxers as not people. Same with Berejiklian, New South Wales Premier as well. It's the same thing. They're not people. They're just horrible. That's what they said. These are people that didn't want to get the jab and lost their jobs. And he says, we have seen extremists, rabid anti-vaxxers and others making all sorts of threats against me, my wife and my kids, Mr. Andrews told today. What did he expect was going to happen? He just destroyed, hundreds of thousands of people's lives, and he expected to see everyone to just go, well, he's doing a good job. And they apparently kept voting him back in. Doesn't say much for Victoria, does it, people? Especially now he's done a runner, left him in a mess. They didn't even get the games that were coming in, that's all fell apart. I mean, these people are horrible. They get six figures, sometimes seven figures by the sound of it, and then they do a runner. Then they get promoted. So we'll see what job he got in the end after all that, Dictator Dan. And he says in the article, my family are okay. They're used to some of the difficult part of the job, but this job is great, great honour. I told you, he loved it. He loved bossing people around. It says earlier this week, mobs of people stormed the streets of Melbourne protesting Mr. Andrews' handling of the state's COVID-19 outbreak and vaccine laws. It was tens of thousands of people, probably more than that. It was ridiculous. I remember when that happened. It was the biggest thing I've ever seen. Melbourne was the most locked-down city, people, in the entire world. And you wonder why he's done a runner now. And it says here, disturbing video was captured of an inflatable Daniel Andrews on a makeshift gallows during the protests. I can see it. It's actually it's funny, actually. I'll put all the stories up when I get them all up. And it said, I know I haven't done the website either. I've let it slip, but we've had renovations. We've had it's Christmas, silly season. Lots of things are happening. And the podcast may not even come out till Wednesday or Thursday. Even though I'm doing it on Tuesday, I did some on Tuesday, I've had to postpone it to the Wednesday. And that's what's happened. So I will finish it probably, hopefully tonight and get it out. But if not, it'll be Thursday, people. I'm not kidding, because it's that I'm running that far behind on everything else that it's hard to get the podcast in. And you know that I must get it in because I've been doing that for more than a decade and I would not miss the week. So just finishing up on the story, it says, when you see this sort of appalling behavior, nothing is less democratic than driving around, wheeling around a set of gallows out in front of Parliament House, Mr. Andrews said. It's him. They're looking at you, buddy. That's what happened. And it says, that's wrong. And it should be called out, not just for my family, for every family. No, you. Don't pass the buck, mate, like Greg Hunt did and the others. No, you. Same with ScoMo. They will point the finger in any direction but at themselves, people. And it says, what is it? If Victorians were listening to these rabid extremist anti-vaxxers, then we wouldn't be standing here today talking about the fact that 90% of Victorians have done what I say is the right thing, got vaccinated. And what happened, people? It still got spread. They're still dying. That's why he's doing a runner. He's a liar, pants on fire, but he knew it. He's enjoyed being a dictator, people. They do, you know, they love it. It says, Mr. Andrews also weighed in on a war of words erupting between the states and Scott Morrison after the Prime Minister called for the states and territories to let Australians have their lives back and halt vaccine mandates. Morrison knew from death threats that it's better to pull this back a bit. Too late. And it says, Mr. Andrews said states and territories were forced into lockdown because of Australia's sluggish COVID-19 vaccine rollout. So here they blame each other. It says, we have had to do lockdowns. As the Prime Minister said, we had to be in people's lives because there were no vaccines. And who forgot to order the vaccines? This is the same thing that was in the other article. Pass the buck. And it's got, Victoria eased a raft of COVID-19 restrictions from midnight for the fully vaccinated, with the state set to pass its 90% double dose vaccination mark. You know what happened? They did the lockdowns, if people remember. And the fully vaccinated were allowed free. But the unvaccinated just stay at home and have no job. That's what happened, people, because they believed that it was not transmissible if you got jabbed. But it was, and it got proved later, and these people are liars, and they knew it. They're pretending they didn't know. They did know. That's the difference. That's why they're COVID rats, and that's why they're running. That's how you know, because they're running, all right? So it's got restrictions eased from 11:59 p.m. yesterday. This is back in 2021. There will be no more rules and no more caps for venues, Mr. Andrews said. Today, there were 1,273 new local COVID-19 cases detected across the state, with a total number of active cases now at 13,000. So even when he had a few hundred, he started the lockdowns then. Now they're up to 13,000. Didn't work, did it? In fact, it never worked. That's the whole point of the thing. What a bunch of idiots. Now, the next story up is a classic, people. It's where I let him do the speaking for a few minutes because he's actually replying to all the COVID death threats. And this is on it's on YouTube, but it's on Channel 10 on News First, which came out, it says 2 years ago in here. So it would have been around about that time in 2021, in November, when he was doing the I'll get you and all that. So I'll let him do the talking and we'll continue and see where he's at. See what job he got. Did he get a bag of gold, people? Did he get a pat on the back? Where did he go? Where's Dan the man? And before we get into that, on 10's News First, which is another Prestute Media channel in Australia, I saw this thing on YouTube that just says, Daniel Andrews slams COVID death threats. And I thought, let it run. Let him say it.
Angry and defiant Premier has slammed the ugly mob responsible for threats of violence against his wife, children and families of other government MPs. They've come from people involved in protests against the new pandemic powers legislation. But police say they won't act until they get a specific complaint.
Effigies of the Premier and a working noose and gallows, props made to intimidate.
I will not be deterred from the work I'm doing to keep every family safe.
Premier Daniel Andrews condemning the ugly scenes.
I look forward to the day I get to see you dance on the end of a rope.
There are some people who are threatening me, they're threatening my family.
But police won't investigate unless a specific complaint is made.
Now, that was 2 years ago, back when the pandemic was pretty much in full swing, where people were demonising. There was tens of thousands. You could see it. It was just crazy. I mean, it was, but it happened. And people have sort of forgotten and thought, well, that's in the past. Well, not really. It could happen again, everywhere, all around the world at the same time, just as bad as that, to put these players in place that can destroy lives. And that's what it was. But they, he thought, well, he made out that he was doing the right thing by locking people down and doing all this, because they, people at the time, just the average person, didn't know what was going on. They thought, well, if I disobey, I'm going to get fined or jailed. So they did as they're told, didn't question it, thought it was doing the right thing. But as you can see, in the long run, well, it wasn't, was it? Actually, he's just hit the news again, just on today, on Wednesday. I was actually just had a break before, and the headline was Daniel Andrews, people. I started laughing. I went, what? So what it is, it's about excessive use of taxpayers' money during the pandemic to protect himself. So obviously he's got these death threats. So he's got he had a massive amount of staffers around him to protect him from you know, whatever he was doing. So they're actually calling it. One of the headlines is I've got to read it out. It's pretty funny. I'll see if I can get it up. I don't want it to play, so I'll just quickly pause it before it starts playing. And it's on Sky News Australia. It says, "Running a protection racket, former Victorian Premier Daniel Andrews slammed." So that was on today. And the other headline is the one that would be, it's probably all over the news at the moment. I'll see if I can get that one up. It says, where is it? Ombudsman finds excessive culture of fear and secrecy in public service. And that was to do with Daniel Andrews at the time. So I'll just see if I can get the message up so I can read the full thing. And it's got here, it says, Victorian public servants are being undermined by excessive secrecy and fear, according to a report by the Ombudsman. So that was today. And that was to do with Daniel Andrews, because he was running everything like a tight ship and no one could get in there and find out exactly what he was doing. And he's actually done a runner now. So I'll move through the stories, but he's still in the headlines, people, as I speak. So we'll keep our eye on that. But getting to the next one, it says, right-winged extremist charged for incitement to kill Premier Daniel Andrews. And that was roughly around the same time, 2 years ago, November 2021. So, and this is on a forum. So it's on, you know, take it as you will. It's on reddit.com, which is a forum. So you just got to take it with a grain of salt. But it's from The Age, actually. Someone's commenting from The Age, and they put that story up. And then everyone's commented to it. So it's not really the story. But I might click on it and see if it goes to the story, which it, I think it does. And it does. So it says, far-right protester charged by counter-terror police amid talk of killing Daniel Andrews. November the 18th, 2021, theage.com.au. So reading on, it says, counter-terrorism officials have charged a Victorian man who encouraged anti-lockdown protesters to bring firearms to the state parliament and execute Premier Daniel Andrews, and are continuing to investigate other alleged extremists involved in the Melbourne Pandemic Bill protests. The criminal charges are among several cases brought quietly by Victoria's Police's Counter-Terrorism Command Security Investigation Unit, and come amid growing evidence that neo-Nazi extremists have infiltrated the Victorian anti-pandemic law protest movement. So they'll do that every time, people, regardless of whether it's true or not, they'll say it, so that it paints all of the protesters as right-wing extremists. And that way they can go in and start randomly shooting or arresting people. It says the revelations will increase pressure on opposition leader Matthew Guy after several Liberal Party MPs have given support to the protesters by attending rallies and posting approvingly on social media. They also raised the questions for political figures like Clive Palmer and Craig Kelly, with evidence suggesting an anti-lockdown group affiliated with the pair's political party has also been infiltrated by neo-Nazis. It's so ridiculous, people. It says an investigation by The Age and the Sydney Morning Herald into the role into the protest movement of far-right extremists, including those on security agency watch lists shows some neo-Nazi figures are seeking not only to attend the rallies, but to organise, recruit and radicalise other protesters. It says many of whom are ordinary Victorians concerned over civil liberties and vaccine mandates. Actually, that's the majority. There's always a minority of people that no one can control at protests. Good or bad, doesn't matter. But they're trying to paint the whole lot of them as neo-Nazis, which is utterly ridiculous. It says court records and spokesperson for the Counterterrorism Command have confirmed that secretive security investigation unit recently charged Melbourne man Imri, looks like Pelivar, with incitement to manufacture explosives. A review of his online activity reveals that Mr. Pelivar, who appears to have previously held a gun license, encouraged protesters at anti-lockdown rallies in Melbourne CBD to bring out our rifles and shotguns. It says someone needs to shoot Mr. Dan F. in the head with a .50 cal explosive tip just to make sure he's gone for life, wrote Mr. Pelivar, who sought to disguise his real identity via an encrypted messenger service. Are we allowed to take firearms to the protest? Yeah, right. Well, so he obviously doesn't know how to disguise himself online. They found out who he is, arrested him, and it looks like they've charged him. It says, in responding to an online post encouraging Victorians to protest outside the Premier Suburban Electorate office, Mr. Pelivar wrote, do you want his proper address? On an encrypted messaging app, other extremists have been sharing the home addresses of members of the state Labor caucus in the past parliament. And it says, Mr. Pelivar also allegedly instructed protesters on how to make Molotov cocktails at home. His activities demonstrate how he and other extremists have not only infiltrated the protest movement, but are helping radicalize and in some cases to organize it. We need to outnumber the law enforcement if we need to with force, such as burning cop cars down and bash the heck out of them. Once they see that they are outnumbered, they will have to stand down and wait until one of the politicians comes out and we make our demands. This has worked well in the USA and Europe as well, Mr. Pelivar wrote. So, yeah, he's obviously put his foot in it, but at the same time, this is how angry people can get. Sometimes there is no other way if you're under a dictatorship. See, now, in Australia, this seems utterly ridiculous, but Melbourne was the most locked-down city on the planet, which is also utterly ridiculous. But there it is. So it just goes on to say, Mr. Andrews said on Wednesday that a number of people had made appalling and potentially criminal threats against his wife, Catherine, and children amid increasingly toxic debate on the government's draft pandemic legislation, which is expected to be passed later this week, which it was. It says the Age and the Herald have also confirmed that counterterrorism officials have charged Victorian neo-Nazi Kenneth Panton. His online activity suggested he was also encouraging Victorians to engage in violence. So this is the thing. I mean, as soon as they get hold of characters like that, they just tar the entire protest with it. And it gives them the go-ahead to arrest people. And that's what happens. And then people get fearful because they think they're going to get arrested and they all just toe the line. That's really what happened in Melbourne too. That's pretty much what happened. There were big protests, but there were a lot of arrests and a lot of people had their lives turned upside down. And of course, Daniel Andrews was raking it in all the way. That's the funny part about it, is that Boris Johnson, the Prime Minister of the UK, they all didn't obey. I mean, they, you know, he got caught without a face mask twice, but he probably got away with lots of other stuff. These people make rules. They don't really follow them. Same with Boris Johnson. He had a big party. The Prime Minister of the UK had a big party while everyone was locked down. I mean, this is the way it's got, you know, two-faced. And they're just following orders, people. They're just like people. They're minions. They do as they're told. And they try to work around the rules, even though they're making them. And the problem is the rules are ridiculous. That people obeyed them thinking they were doing the right thing. And look what happened in the end. People are dying from the vaccine. So unbelievable that everyone got so hoodwinked and went with it. Some people are still going along with it. It's just, you just cannot believe it. So I won't read the rest of the article because it goes on about, what's coming, the terrorism threat. This is what they want to bring back now. As they release, you know, people into the Australian public that are immigrants that have been jailed for offences like rape and murder, they're letting them go and putting them back into the public and, you know, wait and see what happens. What do you think's going to happen? I think they just arrested one that they let out, and he's already been busted trying to steal things from, I think it was the airport. I can't remember. I just saw the news and went, what? Some Sudanese guy that was let go, you know, from the immigration. These are the ones that have come in with no papers. You don't know who they are, and they just throw them in detention centres, which I don't agree with. But at the same time, why even do that? Just send them back to their own country. Don't leave them in limbo and then let them out, because they're going to go berserk, especially if you let them out in the country that's been detaining them all these years. But anyway, that's bright sparks in Canberra that try and figure out all this stuff. But in my opinion, that's done on purpose. It's done on purpose to create a problem in the communities. This is what it's meant to water down certain cultures by adding in other cultures, but it's not working. I mean, there's a culture clash all the time, and you know, violence comes of it. And I think the general public is starting to switch on now. You know, they're starting to say no to immigration in certain European countries now. They're saying we're not doing it anymore. Those days are over, because they can see what's happened. And, you know, this is a big problem. It's a con. You know, they put out all the feel-good ads on save this person and the refugee, but that's not what's really happening in reality. What's happening in reality is they've been encouraged so that they can come to these countries and not assimilate, you see? And that's how these clashes occur. People are coming here just to work. They just want jobs. That's the basic reason they come. But after a while, they do feel marginalised, especially if they don't get a job, and they could turn violent. And you can't blame them in a sense, because the red carpet was rolled out and they came. If they never got there, then they would have never been in that situation. So you've got to look at these politicians that let that happen, and you've got to look at the agenda that wants that to happen. And then you understand why we're in the mess we're in. It's an agenda. They want to water down the West, which is, you know, just the first world, water it down to the third world. Then there's more control from the elites. They don't need that many minions anymore. Unless you're Daniel Andrews and you need 80 or 90 staffers to protect you. Because that's what he's getting done for now. Anyway, continuing on to see, where is he? We're getting there. We're slowly getting towards what's his job now. So I've just clicked on the next story. And it says, Daniel Andrews' wife breaks her silence after vile protesters threaten to hang her husband as she joins supporters vowing to stand with Dan. Dailymail.co.uk. And it came out on the 16th of November 2021. So this is when the protests were at their height. And of course, everyone was getting threatened, but at least the wife realises it was Daniel they were really after, not her, because he's the one making the rules. So it says, Daniel Andrews' wife has spoken out for the first time after protesters threatened to hang her husband at widely condemned protests this week. Catherine Andrews took to Twitter, because that's what it used to be called, to thank those who sent messages of support following several days of ugly demonstrations in Melbourne. Protesters wheeled a wooden gallows to the steps of the Victorian Parliament, hanging an effigy of the Premier on Monday night, with video showing hundreds of demonstrators cheering in support. It says this disturbing stunt came after rallygoers used alarming imagery, including nooses and swastikas. They had to throw this. I can't see swastikas in any of them, but they just say it because they need to paint them all the same. It says with including nooses and swastikas on Saturday to protest the government's controversial pandemic management bill, which gives the Premier unprecedented powers to shut down the city, and it did. And that's why he was called Dictator Dan. That was the reason he got that name, because of the amount of powers he gave himself. It says, on Tuesday, a protester told the angry mob, I look forward to the day I get to see you dance on the end of a rope. So that was the one that was on the clip before. So I'm just going down to where he gets to say something, and it says, it's the wife. Mrs. Andrews took the vile threats in her stride, offering a classy response to the horrifying ordeal. So see how it's all one-sided at the time, people? We have received so many beautiful messages today from all over. Thank you, she said, not mentioning the other half of the messages they received that weren't so beautiful. It says, we are reminded that the light shines in the darkness and the darkness will not overcome it. So all the people that are protesters are all evil and dark. Because remember back then, they thought they were doing the right thing, people. It says, Melbourne streets on Saturday were swarmed with angry protesters who rallied at the foot of Parliament House in pouring rain to oppose controversial legislation which would see Premier Andrews given sweeping powers to make a pandemic declaration without needing it to be signed off by medical advisers. He's another one that's above the health, just like Greg Hunt, former health minister. They don't know anything about health, but somehow they do. It says the hard-hit city suffered through six grueling lockdowns and spent more collective time living under stay-at-home orders than any other place on earth. Posters depicting Mr. Andrews Adolf Hitler, so that's what the swastikas would have been, with a swastika armband replaced by a symbol for the Australian Broadcasting Corporation handed out to angry protesters in a move that has since been widely condemned. That's pretty funny, the ABC. They tear themselves apart these days, people. There's no point in me trying to tear them apart because they do a very good job themselves. It says another protester waved a placard placing the Premier alongside the names of dictators, including Joseph Stalin, Benito Mussolini, and Chairman Mao Zedong. It says, in chilling scenes, at least two men were seen brandishing nooses, with one man brandishing a makeshift gallows and three nooses hanging from it. Some waved Eureka and Trump flags. They've got to lump it all together, people, including one which portrayed the ex-United States president wielding an M60 machine gun, like an action hero like John Rambo. And it says, and they most of them were shouting, and I remember all that, kill the bill. That's what it was, what was shouted on the day of that particular protest in front of Parliament House only 2 years ago, people, not that long ago. The madness ruled Australia, which is why I'm doing the story of the COVID rats, so that we can actually remember and not forget. So I won't read any more of the story. We want to get to, where is he now after all of that? Where's Mr. Andrews? And it says here, we're still in November 2021. There's just another story popping up. And it says, it's the same story, really. Daniel Andrews slams vile threats from protesters amid death threats. So it's just another Prestigious Media site where I've grabbed the story. There might have been a reason why I grabbed that story as well, but pretty much the same thing. Yeah, it's going through the same terrorism things because they wanted to tie the protesters in with terrorists so they could arrest them. This is what's been going on since the pandemic started, was that they wanted to make sure the protesters look like they were actually terrorists and then they could go and arrest them all. Like I said before, Daniel Andrews couldn't do anything about the protesters wanting to give him death threats because they need a specific person that said it, the police said, and they didn't act on it. So, yeah, there's a lot of grey areas, people, but he's gone now, so he doesn't have to worry about that anymore. So we're moving on to the next story to see if we can actually find out where Dan the Man is. It says, oh, here we go. Now, we're finally up to date, people. 30th September 2023. Dan Andrews will pick his next job after politics, according to PR Guru. In other words, he's going to pick the job he'd like to have. This is how confident he is of what he did and where he's going. It says, despite cheers in the centre of Melbourne the moment his resignation was official, that's already funny too, people, Daniel Andrews is perfectly placed for a high-paid corporate gig after leaving politics. Well, I'm sure he is, people. The former Victorian Premier is a champion footballer going right out the top of his game, according to PR guru Max Markson. It says, he'll be employed wherever he wants to work, Mr. Markson said. Well, he's a dictator, people. It says, there are perhaps no politicians in modern Australian history as polarising as Mr. Andrews. It says he won three successive state elections for Labor and delivered a raft of socially progressive changes, but was harshly criticised by some for Melbourne's long COVID lockdowns and sharply centralising power around the Premier's office. I mean, this should never have happened like that. You know, he was arrogant too. I remember this guy. He was arrogant during his power there and he absolutely and wholeheartedly abused it on purpose. It says, asked if Mr. Andrews' divisive legacy would impact his future career, Mr. Markson said he does not need to give it a minute of thought. Instead, he will be lapping up lucrative corporate offers given the Mr. Andrews gained leading the state through a bloody tough time, Mr. Markson said. Really, when you think about it, people, he did whatever he wanted. It had nothing to do with tough time. That was the illusion the public were given at the beginning of it. And now when you look back, you can see just how much abuse there is. And that's why he's in the headlines again now. So reading on to finish up, it says, it being Premier is not even great money, Mr. Markson laughed before saying the former Labor leader could be in line to make millions if he goes down the corporate path. As a former Premier, Mr. Andrews is already eligible for an annual pension, wait for people, $300,000. So there you go. You can be an absolute, well, I won't say the word, and you get utterly rewarded. And this is why we want to find out where these COVID rats have run. It says corporate respect for Daniel Andrews is very high, according to Mr. Markson, who founded PR agency Markson Sparks and has worked for everyone from Kim Kardashian to Nelson Mandela. You can't knock him off for leading for 9 years. That depends on the voting. This is what I've been bringing it back to people. Is the voting in Australia legitimate? This really needs to be looked at, because if it isn't, that's why he stayed there so long. It says, now's the time to do a proper job with proper people, Mr. Markson added, saying he thought Mr. Andrews would be relieved to work in a space where he didn't have to battle every day. And the sentiment was echoed by Mr. Andrews himself when he declared, I think it highly unlikely that I'll spend too much more time in the public sector after announcing his resignation this week. It says, where precisely Mr. Andrews will end up next remains to be seen. So this is where we are now. We want to find out, okay, if that's only a few months back, let's see what the next story is. I didn't want to read right through it, because it's really not saying what he's doing as a job yet. We know all the stories about him. And it says here, Daniel Andrews' resignation, Anthony Albanese surprised by announcement. And that was the 26th September 2023. So I don't really need to read that article, because it might say where he might go, but it's not. So we'll move on to the next article, which is probably even more up to date. October the 12th, 2023, Australian Financial Review, so that's AFR.com. It says, uni in the mix as Andrews plots next career move in New York City. Bags of gold in the US, Daniel. Daniel Andrews has been put forward to join the Monash University Council in his first post-political appointment. And the former Victorian Premier has been spotted in New York as he plots his future career. It says speculation over Mr. Andrews' next roles comes as another 500 Victorian public servants learnt on Thursday they are set to lose their job, including up to 220 roles at the Department of Jobs and 300 more at the Health Department. Oh boy, you can really see this guy. You wonder why the people kept voting him in. If they actually knew what he was doing, he probably would be hanging from a noose right now. So there's no real update on what he's doing, because he's only just resigned from Parliament and now he's going for his job. So we're going to have to keep watching him, but it sounds like it's another overseas appointment. It's another non-Australian job in corporate. So it makes you wonder. So, you know, when they finally actually join these things, what I'll do is I'll look at the actual whoever they've joined. If it's some sort of a public business or a corporate, private corporate, I'll look it up. And we'll see just how the bags of gold get to him, okay? Now, this is really funny. I'll leave the Daniel Andrews one on this one. This is hilarious. Gold, people, gold. It's from Reuters.com, and it's the fact-checking. Wait till you hear the headline. Fact check. Screenshot announcing new World Economic Forum role for Australia's Daniel Andrews is fabricated. But still, the fact that someone had a go at that, that's hilarious. We all knew that it wasn't real, but is it? It says a screenshot purportedly showing a World Economic Forum profile page announcing Daniel Andrews, former Premier of Australia's Victorian state, as a new WEF delegate is fabricated. A screenshot circulated online after Andrews, who oversaw one of the longest pandemic lockdowns in the world, announced on September 26, 2023, that he would resign after close to 9 years in office, Reuters reported. So they're saying it's bogus. It probably is, but I tell you what, that is so funny, people. And in his Wikipedia, just to finish off his legacy, this is something a lot of people don't know, what happened in Victoria. It was almost a mini China there, and, you know, copying the Chinese, you know, not welding the doors shut in COVID, but he was probably thinking about it. In his Wikipedia, right down the bottom, it's got, well, in the middle, I should say, China, it says. Upon his election, Andrews fast-tracked Victoria's ties with the People's Republic of China. Firstly, he led a group of prominent Victorians to China on his first overseas trip and promised to send his entire cabinet there during his first term. Eyeing the enormous opportunities with tourism, education, investment, his government signed a Memorandum of Understanding with the Chinese government under the Belt and Road Initiative. These are communist people. In October 2018, but kept its details secret until he released it 5 weeks later. The Memorandum of Understanding involves cooperation on facilities, connectivity, unimpeded trade, finance, people-to-people bonds, and the Digital Silk Road. Cooperation will be in the form of dialogue, joint research, pilot programs, knowledge sharing, capacity building. Andrews said that the Memorandum of Understanding does not bind Victoria to be involved in any specific project or initiative, and the government will consider both the Victorian and national interest before agreeing to be involved in any specific activity. On the 21st of April 2021, the Commonwealth government used its veto powers to cancel the agreements made between Victoria and China under the Belt and Road Initiative. So the guy was a communist. He signed them over to China, Victoria. That's how dangerous he was. He was also called Dangerous Dan as well. And just to finish him up, and I'll let him finish himself up in the future when we find out exactly where he's gone and who he's with, because it's still a bit vague. It says, Port of Melbourne lease. This is where China gets the use of the ports, people. In September 2016, the Andrews government privatised the Port of Melbourne for a term of 50 years in return for more than $9.7 billion. Now, hang on, who did they give the Port of Melbourne to? Let's have a look. Because I know the Darwin Port in the Northern Territory is 99 years to China. Now we're going to see who the Port of Melbourne has been signed over to for 50 years by Dangerous Dan. As I thought, China is in there, but only 20%. There's another mob of, looks like a bunch of investment. I'll tell you what the name of it is. It's Global Infrastructure Partners. And I'll tell you what, they have invested, they got 40% ownership of the Port of Melbourne for 50 years. So they're pretty much almost half. There's all these other players as well, but it's not Australian owned anymore. Not for 50 years anyway. But they also have a stake in the Brisbane port as well. So this is getting a little bit scary because these are globalist companies. So globalists are getting control of the ports for some reason. China's got the one in Darwin, so there's no war going on, people. The war is against people, okay? Us. We're the targets, okay? So that's what you got to remember here. So, yeah, it looks like that's been sold off to globalists. That's what it looks like to me, just looking at what they've got. Again, it's very hazy. You've got to go into Market Screener and look at these operations to see who they are, all right? Because it doesn't really elaborate with just an article. It just has a link to a name and you just go and look it up. So Chinese Investment Corporation is in there at 20%. Korean Pension Fund is in there at 20%. This is for the port. Future Fund, 20%. Queensland Investment Corporation, 20%. Actually, I'm adding all that up. That doesn't make sense. Because I'll tell you why in a sec. It's got, if you're doing 100%, right, and that's how it works. It says the Lonsdale Consortium comprises, I'll just read it off. It's in the Wikipedia. It says Global Infrastructure Partners, 40%. So, okay, it's only 60% left, right? Then it says China Investment Corporation, 20%. Korea Pension Fund, 20%. So that's already at 80%. Future Fund at 20%. And then it goes on to Queensland Investment Corporation, 20%. Ontario Municipal Employees Retirement System, 20%. I don't know how they got 140%, but there it is, people. That's Wikipedia. And it says facilities where they've got the Victoria Dock. Yeah, it's just, this is crazy, people. This is the Port of Melbourne. This is really, really not good, because it means that we don't own our own ports where the food and items come in from around the world. And everyone's clickers at the moment. So it looks like this could be a very dangerous situation in the future. Plus, they'll bring their own workers in. All sorts of stuff changes when this happens. So we've got to keep our eyes on that, because the ports are very important to Australia, because that's how we buy and sell. It's also how we sustain ourselves, because, you know, we do make a lot of stuff for ourselves food-wise, but most of the good stuff gets exported and we import stuff in that's not so good. And that's been going on for a very long time. We are slowly turning into a banana republic. Not by choice. It's through all these people like Dangerous Dan selling off the ports. This makes it really a problem. Anyway, we'll let him go. We won't dwell on him anymore. He's digging his own hole. But we will come back and see where he fully ends up, because that'll be pretty soon, since he's just quit Parliament. Moving on. Okay, moving to the next COVID rat that did a runner is Brendan Murphy. Now, this was the guy that was the head of the Australian Medical Association in Australia. Like, he was the top dog that made sure that the vaccine rollout happened. Okay? So it's got here, this is his Wikipedia. So I had to mention him. We're going down the list of minions, starting with the top dogs and working our way down the list. There's quite a lot to get through, but I'll just get through these ones. But this is all the links that will go up with the COVID class of 19 when I eventually get that up on the site and leave it there. People can refer back to it and look at it, right? So this is Brendan Murphy, an Australian public servant health executive who served as Chief Medical Officer of Australia from the 4th of October 2016 before serving as the Secretary of the Department of Health from the 13th of July 2020 until his retirement on the 6th of July 2023. So he got out too. Did his 3 years and did a runner. Got his bag of gold. So let's find out where he's ended up. It's saying he's retired, but let's see if he's moved on or whether he's just sitting in the wings waiting. Because I don't want to go into his career or any of that, but you can see that he was the second one down from Greg Hunt, the federal health minister, who was not a doctor. So it says here, Chief Medical Officer. Murphy was appointed CMO of Australia on the 4th of October 2016, and it says he became the public face of Australia's fight against COVID-19 during the pandemic in Australia, giving regular press conferences with the Prime Minister, Scott Morrison, and the Health Minister, Greg Hunt. So we've got the triple, the triple-headed hydra on that one. And it says, and I'll see if I can find, no, there's not much else. That they're saying nothing about him. He's been let off the hook. He's gone. It says, there's really nothing here. It's, no, I can't believe it. It's just cut short. But he has got the Companion of the Order of Australia, which is always a bit of a globalist pat on the back when you get one of those things. But it doesn't say anything else. So I'll probably have to go and look for some other stories and see if I can find it, because there'll be other stories online about it. But anyway, okay. So we're moving on to the first story, which is April the 13th, 2023. Health Chief Brendan Murphy checks himself out of the top job. I love this site, themandarin.com.au, after the Daniel Andrews China ties, pretty funny. So it says the Albanese government's pre-budget clearing of secretarial ranks has commenced in earnest, with Professor Brendan Murphy now confirmed as retiring as the Secretary of the Department of Health and Aged Care as of July the 6th this year. The former Commonwealth Chief Medical Officer and well-known Canberrian face of COVID briefings is headed for the exit after first joining health in 2016. It says chalking up a wearying 7 years at the pointy end of the health policy, including 3 during the pandemic. Health Minister Mark Butler paid tribute to Murphy, saying Australians got to know Murphy throughout the pandemic as he led the Department of Health during its biggest public health response in over 100 years. And that part's true. Says Professor Murphy's time as secretary was broader than just COVID. He oversaw the start of aged care, mental health, primary care and health workforce reform. No, he did a runner. He copped the death threats and he ran, just like the others. It says, While the platitudes may flow now, Labor was a trenchant critic of the Morrison government's sometimes flat-footed COVID response that the then regime sheeted back to experts like Murphy. A particular bone of contention was the Morrison government's handling of the Australian Technical Advisory Group on Immunisation, ATAGI, advice on risks and age brackets for the AstraZeneca COVID vaccine that saw millions of Australians shun the product as the virus ripped through the population. It says the ATAGI advice saw Labor rip into the then government, characterising the Astra product as inferior to others. This is when Australians were guinea pigs. That controversy was nowhere to be seen on Thursday as Butler thanked Murphy for his commitment and service. Big pay packet. I want to thank Professor Murphy for his professionalism and his help in establishing the Health and Aged Care Ministerial Office for the Albanese government. So, I mean, this is just bogus. Moving on to the next story, but you can see he's done a runner. Where did he go? It says here, now this is on the Minister's Department of Health and Aged Care site. So it's got, today, Professor Brendan Murphy, AC, has announced his decision to retire from his position as Secretary of the Department of Health and Aged Care effective 6th of July 2023. So it looks like he doesn't speak again. Someone else is speaking for him. It's the one replacing him. So I'm not going to read into it. Yeah, it's the same thing. Moving on to the next story. This is from the 6th of July 2023, and it's from the mandarin.com.au. Public health leadership when anti-vaxxers are not in the mood for evidence spurred by suspicion and fear. So on the way out, he's still wagging his finger at them. So I'll just see what it says in the story. According to outgoing Health Secretary Professor Brendan Murphy, processes intended to uphold the important principles of democracy left the door open for conspiracy theorists to take things to the ninth degree. It cost taxpayer money and valuable time that public servants could have spent responding to the COVID crisis. Clunky as the system may be, this is the price of living in an open society. Is he referring to George Soros there? Now, what Mr. Murphy doesn't understand is that the very reason he was jabbing people, there was no reason for it, because it didn't work. And he knew it, but he pushed it because people that are major shareholders were raking in the money for Pfizer. So, of course, they sidelined AstraZeneca and they went for the big guns, which are the Americans. So it says, responding to anti-vaxxers, conspiracy theorists and skeptics in a public health emergency might sound like another headache a government official does not want to deal with. But the rallies that sprung up in major cities, including a group that travelled across the country to protest in Canberra, and the way their fear permeated through a wider community, worrying about the effects of vaccines produced in an historical swift time, show there was a growing tide against expert advice about how to control a virus like COVID-19. It says, last week, the health secretary told an audience in Canberra that the curious phenomenon of anti-vaxxers touched on issues that went beyond concerns about the medical efficacy of measures. Australia achieved a remarkable primary vaccination rate of 95%, which Murphy says there should be more national pride for it. Come back in 10 years when 95% of them are probably dead. And we'll try and find him, try and dig him out of his hole where he's hiding, because that's a ridiculous statement. 22,000 dead Australians. And at the time when he said that, was probably, well, actually not that particular article, but back in the day when he was pushing it, was only when about 1,000 people were dead. So no wonder he's doing a runner now, because it's becoming glowingly obvious what happened. And it says, just reading on, by way of example, Murphy pointed to the ongoing rage displayed by a committed few against public health mandates. He observed that this rage continued long after the mandates themselves, driving an ongoing and irrational view against the stark evidence that COVID vaccines saved lives of hundreds of thousands of Australians. Really? They didn't work. They just killed people. So how could they have been saving people? It says vaccinations were effective in preventing the virus from spreading. It's being transmission to everyone knows it still spreads. The guy is a ridiculous liar. And he's saying the anti-vaxxer collective includes doctors, business leaders, politicians, natural therapy advocates, anarchists, had to put that in, and many others. Where's the right-wing neo-Nazis? I didn't put that in. United by a rejection of scientific evidence and a distrust of government and the pharmaceutical industry, Murphy said, I wonder why. It says conspiracy theories abound in their thinking and their psychology is quite complex. No, no, he just said it. There are doctors in there, business leaders and politicians. The guy is an idiot because he's only going by his agenda. He's been told, do this and do it quickly. Okay, he's done his 3 years. He's doing a runner. And it says, reading on, they were always around pre-COVID, but their emotions and energy were stoked by a huge national focus on COVID vaccinations because it was mandated in jobs, Mr. Murphy. A lot of people lost their job, including myself. It says the advent of the new mRNA vaccines that don't work, and most particularly the widespread use of vaccine mandates. Professor Murphy added that during the pandemic, significant time and public money were exhausted responding to, FOI requests. I mean, this is why people did it. I mean, the latest thing was sent to me by, someone sent me this link, and it was to do with what's happening with the batch numbers. Remember that way back in the day where you could check the batch number to see what version of the vaccine you got to see if you were going to survive? Well, that's come out in public now. In New Zealand, a particular fellow that was looking after all the data for the government, just one person, because there's only 4 million people there. He was looking after the data that concerned which batches went to who and what was the cause and effect. And when he put the whole study together, he realised that certain batches were killing people. And he's gone public with the list, and now he's been arrested in New Zealand. Just happened, people. I'll put that story up too when I get round to it. When you see that, you'll realise that the whistleblowing is not allowed anymore. They don't want you to even if you know the truth, a whole collective of people, you're not allowed to talk about it. Okay, it's a bit like ivermectin back in the day when they said you can't take it. Yet the Indians were taking it, was working. But we weren't allowed to because you had to get the jab. If you took something that worked, you wouldn't get the jab. And then how far is it going to make money with major shareholders like Bill Gates? How do they do that if you block it? So, of course, money talks and BS walks. Well, maybe not BS, but you know what I'm saying. It's all, go and watch the Magic Christian, people, that movie. It says it all. Everyone has a price. So it says here, the cost to the public purse of many hours defending legal action in the courts, because he's talking about Malcolm Roberts too, from the One Nation Party, who actually grilled him in a really good grilling session to try and get the truth out of him. And this is what he's talking about now. The cost to public purse of many hours defending legal action in the courts. I'm named as a defendant already in one at the moment. Maybe someday worthy of quantification, but it's perhaps a price to pay in a functioning open democracy, Murphy said. See, too bad, buddy. You're part of the agenda, and millions of people have suffered, and tens of thousands in Australia have died. So I'm sorry, buddy, you're not off the hook. So it says Murphy, who was the first doctor to be appointed to lead the health department in more than 30 years, lamented that the enormous work required to respond to the COVID pandemic railroaded wider system reform ambitions he had for the sector. It says that's a sad thing. He must have been really annoyed with the pandemic. It says he took the role after having previously served as Australia's chief medical officer and having had undertaken significant work to lead a new national medical workforce strategy. Oh, he wants to be dictator doctor. Didn't happen. That strategy has been accepted by the country's health ministers, but today faces a huge challenge in being implemented, Murphy said. Oh, yeah. The truth hurts. It says, I have had a strong interest in broader health system reform. Yeah, he wants to make it so it's harder to knock him off his pedestal. That's actually why I came to the Commonwealth Public Service, Murphy said. Bags of gold wouldn't hurt. The challenge facing implementation of the National Medical Workforce Strategy is that a necessary system-wide view does not come naturally to many of the players. We're clearly training too many narrow subspecialist doctors in Melbourne and Sydney, largely because of big hospitals creating training positions to meet their service needs. No, the hospitals are falling apart, buddy. You didn't do anything except get your retirement money and run. It says the Secretary added that Australia's medical workforce could be self-sufficient if it were able to appropriately distribute medical graduates across the right geography and role. So he's trying to pass the buck here. He's trying to take your mind off the fact that what he did for 3 years was he became dictator doctor. That's what he was, all right? And now, see if I can finish. Yeah, and that's it. That's the finish of the article. There's no more to read. So there you go. So he's just retired. So we're going to have to wait. This is probably nearly 4 or 5 months ago. And it says, Murphy made his remarks at the speech at the IPPA ACT Thursday, July the 6th, in his last day as Secretary of the Health Department, as he retires from the public service. So we don't know what he's doing now. So we're going to keep looking at these people. They're not getting away with it. We want to know where he ends up. He's not getting away with it. All right. So all eyes on him as well as he tries to, you know, deflect anything that he did during the pandemic. Not going to happen, buddy. Now, what I was going to do to people, I was going to continue with this, but there's only 15 minutes or so of the podcast. So I'll do another three of them next week and I'll just keep dropping them in. And that way, eventually I can get the whole class of 19 out there. Because this is becoming really big. These people all around the world are doing runners. We've got Jacinda Ardern, she's done a runner. Boris Johnson, Prime Minister of UK, has done a runner. They've all gone, people. The people that were during the pandemic controlling it, steering it, have left the building. We cannot let these people get away scot-free. They did terrible things to people, and they could do it again. Not the same minions, but the next lot of minions. So we've got to stop this in its tracks, people. Now, just to end the podcast, I'm going to give you some very interesting and disturbing information. Someone sent me a link through of this, and this is to do with the COVID response in New Zealand. Now, that's like 4 million people, and this particular fellow is a whistleblower, and he's blown the whistle on the Data Administration for COVID, the payment system. And you're thinking, what are you talking about? Now, I'll let him do the talking, but he's now been arrested. So what's happened is this is the fellow that was in charge of the database administration, the sole administrator for information about who got jabbed, who died, and also a payment system for every jab that was given out. So this is information the government does not want anyone to see, especially in New Zealand. So what's happened, he's released the data. I'm trying to still find the website that says Find My Batch for New Zealand. It actually says out of the 100 or so jabs, mostly Pfizer, it'll tell you the batch, and then it'll tell you how he's done this data himself, because he's controlling the database at that stage. And it's showing how many people were injected on which batch and how many people actually died not long after. And it's pretty harrowing. When you see the info, you're going to go, oh, this is really bad. Anyway, he's been arrested. So I'll let the guy talk to you. I mean, I'll put the link up for the video, but just get this information now. You need to hear this now, because this is, it only goes for about 9-10 minutes, but you really, really need to hear this, because it shows you what happens to whistleblowers. And this is someone that was in control of the database for the COVID payment systems to do with the jab, to do with how many people got jabbed, how many people died, what was the jab. This guy was the only one in control of it. As he states in the video, in other countries, it's teams of people, so you can't actually get someone on their own access to all of it. Whereas in New Zealand, because it's only 4 million people, this guy had sole access. And obviously, he was trusted by the Ardern government and other government officials right up until this point. And now he's finally spilled the beans. But it looks like he's been arrested now. Now, this is only a week or so ago, not even then. So like three or four days ago. So this is really crucial information. We have to watch this, because what it means, it just means that if you try to tell the truth, they'll just apprehend you. So that just goes to prove to you that there is an agenda and a protection racket going on for politicians and like-minded that want to support the agenda of the elitists. They are really starting to put their claws into this one, people. I mean, there was also another story that's come out too, where a fellow in the US has been arrested for inflaming that shooting that happened in Queensland, where three people were killed in an outback type house, and the police went out to investigate. They were ambushed and two police officers were killed. And they're trying now to pin it as on this particular fellow in Arizona in the US. But what that means, That's like an incitement for terrorism or whatever. That means anyone on social media that says something like kill the police or kill the head of the WHO, which this fella said as well, they're going to come after you. And this is the Queensland police asking the FBI in the US to arrest this guy, and they did. Okay? So we're in a very precarious situation, people, where even myself, anyone else that's sort of spruiking the info for the conspiracy side of things, the alternate media, we could be actually inflaming someone to go out and commit a crime, and then we get blamed for it. This is not the first time this has happened, but this guy, these people have, the fellow in the US has actually been arrested, and so has this whistleblower. What does it tell you about the democracy in the Western world now, when we're actually being now compared to China and Russia? And by the way, they've just abandoned the Ukraine now, so he's on his own. So it just goes to show that something's not right in the world anywhere. It's like we are really in the end time type thing, because I don't see a way through the tunnel, people. But the only thing I can suggest is we keep the information going, because if enough people, and I am hearing even in the shop, a lot of people understand what's happening now, just the average person. So this is really starting to take hold, and this is why they're coming down on the whistleblowers and people that are trying to wake people up, as they say, because the average person's starting to figure out themselves. So it's not going to be long until there is a resistance to this. And that's what they're trying to quell. That's what they're trying to stop. They don't want another January the 6th in the US like the Trump riots at Capitol Hill. They don't want any of that. So they're going to try and nip it in the bud, which is why they're trying to get the QR code, the digital ID, so they can pinpoint the perpetrators and just walk them away. That's what they're trying. That's what they want to do. They don't want to have to try and chase people's aliases and this and that. They just want to go straight for the jugular. So this is a. That's why I wouldn't. I left Facebook as soon as they wanted your driver's ID and your ID. I thought, no way. This is just some stupid social media thing. I'm not giving it to them, and I never did. So, as I said, a lot of people have, and they've fallen into the trap. And now, if they dissent anything to do with the government or what the agenda is, they could get arrested and disappeared. This is a real problem, and it really can happen. Okay, and I'll have the public be on, because the public will be based on fear, or like, I don't want it happening to me. Take them away. I'm not going to resist. That's why Israel's stomping all over Gaza and nobody cares. They simply don't. There are people out there protesting, but nobody's stopping it. There's no boots on the ground stopping the Israelis from wiping them out. And they are wiping them out. And it's intentional, because, and it's not a religious thing. They just want to get them out of there so they can get the gas. You know, these are countries that are going on about, oh, we've got to be green and save the planet. They don't care about that. It's worth billions of dollars. You know, the fossil fuels is the only thing keeping the world rolling at the moment. The megawatts from those power stations, otherwise we'd be in the third world now, which is what they want. So now you get it. Anyway, I'll let this fellow talk for about 10 minutes. Listen to this. It's really, you're going to want to go and see the clip anyway. But really, when you hear it, this is information you need to hear. Because this has just happened, okay? And it's a real thing. The data is real. I've been saying it from day one that since the jabbing started, more people have died than before, even with COVID. More people have died from the jabbing all around the world. You can see the spike of deaths going up vertical as soon as the jab started. So they said, oh, it's a different variant. It's hogwash, people. They knew what they were doing, okay? They knew exactly what they were doing. And they're going to continue to do it to people. Until people say, no, enough's enough, okay? Anyway, without much ado, I'll let this say. And it's entitled COVID-19 Vax Lethal. And it's got, and it just says DBA arrested by police. So that's the second clip. The first clip, now this is the one I'll play now. That's the second clip. And they're only short, they're very short clips. But still, this is really crucial information because it's just happened. The other one's called New Zealand's Lethal Lots. Now, remember, even on BitChute and these ones, they have to be very careful about what they call it and how this information goes around, because anyone, remember the New Zealand massacre, anyone that is forwarding the information on can be held liable. This is what they did. There was people that were downloading the New Zealand massacre, and people were arrested just for having the video. Okay, so that's how draconian this crazy stuff can get unless we stop it, unless we get in there. I'm not talking about the violent side of it. I'm talking about getting together as a majority of people and voting these people out. If they want to go on about voting, vote them out, people. in the majority. Just get them out before they get their claws into us and turn us into digital ID objects on the Internet of Things that can be controlled and disappeared when they feel like it, because they will do that. Okay, this is the first clip.
Right, well, I was involved with building a project, helped with implementing a vaccine payment system for our providers. It's called a pay-per-dose system. So it means that every time someone gets vaccinated, they get a payment for it as a provider. And I helped build it. I implemented it. And when I was looking at the data, which is part of my job, I noticed some discrepancies with the dates of death, people dying within a week of being vaccinated.
So what did you notice when you first started to look at this data as you were building it?
Well, as soon as the system went live, we noticed that people were dying almost straight away after being injected. So that sort of prompted my curiosity a bit. And so I dug a little deeper. And I am a scientist by nature. I love science. It's my all-time favorite. I've got a master's degree in science.
Nobody knows this data.
Nobody but me in New Zealand has seen this data. Now I'm giving it to the world.
Explain why. Explain that.
Because it's a payment system, and I'm the database administrator for it. I'm the only one. Because New Zealand is a small country, you can get away with one database administrator to do this. So I'm in a unique position in the world, and because New Zealand is a tier one country with really good IT, I was able to manage and build the system and as be the only database administrator needed to look after it. In other countries like America or Britain, you'd need a whole team of people. So it would be very difficult for one person to get access to all of this information. But in New Zealand, because of the size and because it's got really good IT, I happen to be the one.
A lot of people want to know, what was my batch? What can you do to help Kiwis with that?
Okay, so what I did with the data was look at the top 10 batches that had a high death count, a high mortality rate, and I put them on a chart, which you can see up there. So it's got a batch ID, which is our internal number for a batch, but you can easily get the Pfizer batch ID from that. It shouldn't be too difficult.
Tell us more about that, because a lot of people will say, hey, that's only the top 10. I want to know my batch. What would you advise?
Yep, you can do that. There's a website, Find My Batch, for the whole world that can actually find that. We can list this on a website, the whole number of batches. There are 119 individual batches so far in New Zealand, 119.
Of the Pfizer?
Of the Pfizer. Actually, no, of all of them, because we have Moderna, we have AstraZeneca, but they're only few and far between. Mostly it's Pfizer. Mostly it's Pfizer in New Zealand.
So people can find that?
Yeah.
Find my batch?
Yes, they should
we'll
be able
details.
To, yes.
Hello.
So what I did was our internal batch ID, I counted the number of vaccinated within that batch, and then I found out who was dead.
Wow, let's have a look.
And so we then look at the percentage of the ratio.
So do we know if these are all Pfizer, the top 10?
Yes, they are.
And this is Pfizer's batch number one. We've had 711 from batch number one vaccinated. 152 of those died, which makes a 21%
percentage,
death rate.
Mortality rate from that.
Mortality rate.
Batch.
They are high. Now,
there are different ways to look at the data. You can slice it and dice it. So another way I looked at it was, are the vaccinators themselves, what are they doing? Are we looking at some who have got a higher mortality rate than others? And sure enough, if we look at the next one, unfortunately there are. So what we have here are the top 10 vaccinators who have the highest ratios of mortality.
For privacy reasons, we have redacted the names of those jabbed and the names of those jabbing.
Yeah, we have to.
We have, yeah. We have to. So we've just called it Vaccinator 1.
Yeah, but these are individuals. These are real people. These are real numbers. This is government data. So the top V1 has vaccinated 246 people, and 60 of them are now no longer with us.
And that is 20, nearly 25%.
Nearly one in four that person vaccinated is now dead. And you can come up with any number of reasons for it, but this should never happen. This should never happen. If they were all doing their job correctly, if there's a normal vaccine, it would be 0.75.
And if you were arguing, okay, there was one vaccinator who was incompetent, not doing the job properly, that's an aberration. But look at the other numbers.
Yeah.
So it looks, then we start to say, what is it they were putting into people's bodies? Because the uniformity is what they were putting in. Look at this one. Yep. 621 by vaccinator, the third highest vaccinator. 621, 104 people dead. Nearly 17% of the people they jabbed.
Yeah. And unless they go around terminally ill cancer wards and injecting people who they know are going to die, then there is no other explanation for this data. And why would they be doing that anyway? You know, it doesn't make any sense. The vaccine is meant to protect those people. On the left there, the big red line, is the Christchurch earthquake event. So that is the outlier, and that's a lot of people died on that day. From there, the next line where you get more than 120 people dying is sometime 2012. Then you get nothing for a year. 2013 doesn't have any. 2014, you got a couple. Then nothing. 2016, you got one. Then nothing until 2018, where you get a whole bunch, a whole cluster. That's probably due to a flu epidemic, because all these spikes that you see, these black lines previously on the left-hand side, they're all due to the winter flu season. So you've got to remember that. They all these deaths happening June, July, August. So there, in 2018, we had a big flu epidemic. Moving on to the right, you get another one. Then the next red one, the Christchurch massacre, which was in 2019 in March. But from that, you get a cluster in 2020, a whole bunch there. May have been another bad flu season. We don't know. But then from 2021, midway, you see a black line there appearing, and then it's like a flick of a switch. Suddenly, the black lines get closer together, and there's more of them. Very thick black lines there. So this one here, peak deaths was COVID, with or from COVID, but then the deaths from COVID, if you look at the Worldometer website, it correlates to that. That is the same time, and they say that over 60 people died with or from COVID. Then after that, it suddenly drops off. So after that, you only get a couple of people a day dying with or from COVID. So if you go back to the chart there, in that case, you would expect to see the black lines disappear, because no one's dying from COVID anymore, right? But you're not. You're absolutely not. You're seeing the black lines. There are more people dying than ever before. These are the biggest number of deaths we've seen in history of New Zealand. The death rate has gone up 6%, 8% year on year. Even after COVID wasn't a thing, the death rate is still going up. And that's illustrated here by these black lines, which are still going on.
I'm Liz Gunn, and this is an emergency call around the world from New Zealand. Today is Sunday, the 3rd of December, 2023. I'm out in the car that we have. I've had a call to say that the whistleblower who has put out the crucial information exposing the COVID lies, exposing the information that he had working for the Ministry of Health in New Zealand, has had his house surrounded by police at 2:15 today. It has been swarming with police. The time now is almost 5 o'clock. I have not gone public yet because I wanted not to inflame the situation. But why are the police there still? And this I heard 10 minutes ago. As well as that, 10 minutes ago, the second person who backs up that whistleblower and one of the people who contacted me along with the whistleblower has had her house now surrounded by police. So those two people are no longer available to talk to us, and I must put this message out to the world. I would remind the new New Zealand government under Luxon that you must get out the truths and show you are different from the tyrannical Ardern government. This is a massive challenge for you. This is where you show New Zealand what kind of a government you will be, and particularly you, Winston Peters. Winston, I came round to your house on the eve of putting the information out. I reached you by phone on message. I said, I have something very important to offer you. You got into government promising New Zealanders that you would stand up for what we call the Freedom Truth-Telling Movement, that you would put out a full COVID inquiry. The whistleblower tried to reach you as well. I gave him your number, and he said that he would give you all the information. We were both willing to give you the first drop and make you the hero politician of the world. We are still willing to do that, but I am calling on you, Winston. I am calling on you. Help these people. Make sure Luxon calls off the police. Make sure they are freed immediately. Make sure that this whistleblower is honoured as a New Zealand hero for telling the people of the world the truth.
So there you go, people. That was the two videos. I ran them back to back because I thought that you'd get the full info, then you'd get the results. And it's quite tragic when you actually see what's happened. This is what puts people off actually telling the truth. Even the people that are in power that would like to jump ship and get away from the globalists, they can't, because they will be arrested, and that's it, and demonized. And people, this is the problem with the world at the moment. People know that something's wrong, but no one has the courage to stand united against it. So this is what happens. If you go up against them individually like this, they knock you down really quickly and no one will help you because they don't want to get knocked down with you. The problem is if everyone stood up at the same time, they can't knock everyone down. You see, this is what needs to happen and this is what they're trying to stop. They don't want an organized sort of opposition to what they want, which is Agenda 21/30. I've been talking about it since day one. And that's all it is. They just want to get a climate change agenda through that forces everyone to do exactly as they say, because otherwise the world is in danger from people breathing out. And that's what they want you to believe. They want you to believe there are too many people. The moment you believe that, you're in their spell. And that's it. You'll do anything they say. And in the end, their agenda is to get rid of people, including the people that think they're great people. They don't care. They're not interested in minions. They're just interested in control and less people. It's their new mandate. And it's not really new. Probably the last 100 years. Yeah, they like making money off the plebs. But at the same time, technology has given them such power now. They don't need the minions and the multitudes of plebs to get things done. Okay, they've seen the light, the digital light, and they want to follow it. They're into longevity and they're into massive control. And a world government. That's what the new world order is. It's a world government where there is one police, one army, one bank, one supposed currency, and one rule. But at the moment, they can't get it because they keep distracting us with wars, disease. They need us to not focus on what they're trying to do because we'll stop them. That's why we need to stop them now, because we're being diverted with all these false flags all around us, not knowing if we're coming or going. And they'll just keep throwing them at us until we realize what they're really trying to do, okay, which is an agenda. They just want you to believe in the agenda and quietly go exit stage left. I'm serious. That's why they want euthanasia, and that's why they want all these measures. to tell you it's okay to kill yourself. You know, we'll help you. This is, they'll make you so depressed and so what they call the mentally disturbed, and, you know, people that just don't know what's happening because they've been pushed down that road, they'll give you an exit, all right? Anyway, people, I'm at the end of the podcast. I'll keep dropping all the names each podcast. I'll do two or three of them just to keep people in the loop that we can't forget that this happened, okay? So they're not like part one, part two, part three things, but as I find the info on them, I'll release it and then collate it at the end. Okay, so it's good to get this out now rather than waiting, because I've been at this and at this for so long getting this list together. It's time to release some of the info. But I'll start with all the Australian ones first, because that was really the whole aim. You know, I mentioned New Zealand now, and that we understand this is happening worldwide, but at the same time we need to understand there is a world agenda here, a cabal that want to control the whole of the planet. Okay, and there's many leaders at the top now that are now joining. They don't want to fight each other. They're joining and planning what they're going to do in what they think is their utopian future, not ours. Okay, people, this is the Conspiracy Oz podcast for Wednesday, the 6th of December, 2023. Thanks for listening. Over and out.